2672, verse 14. And Abraham rose early in the morning, and took bread and a bottle of water, and gave to Hagar, and put them on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she went and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. Abraham rose early in the morning signifies the Lord's clear perception from the divine, and took bread and a bottle of water signifies good and truth, and gave to Hagar signifies implantation in its life, and put them on her shoulder signifies as much as it could receive, and the child signifies spiritual truth, and sent her away signifies that he left it in what is of their proprium. And she went and wandered in the desert of Beersheba signifies a state of wandering in the doctrinal things of faith. 2673. Abraham rose early in the morning. That this signifies the Lord's clear perception from the divine is evident from the signification of morning and of rising early as being to perceive clearly. See above, number 2540, where the same words occur. And from the representation of Abraham as being the Lord's divine, shown often before. The Lord had a clear perception from the divine concerning the state of his spiritual kingdom, namely, what they who are of that kingdom or of that church are in the beginning, what they are successively, and what they at length become. For all their state is accurately and fully described in the internal sense, from verse 13 to verse 21 of this chapter. 2674. And he took bread and a bottle of water. That this signifies good and truth is evident from the signification of bread as being what is celestial or good. See number 276, 680, 2165. And from the signification of water as being what is spiritual or truth. See number 28, 680, 739. It is said, a bottle of water, because it is a very little truth with which they are gifted in the beginning, as much, that is to say, as they are able to receive, which is signified by his putting it on her shoulder. Number 2676. Everyone can see that these historic statements involve arcana, from the fact that Abraham, who was rich in flock and herd, and also in gold and silver, sent away in this manner his handmaid, by whom he had a son, and the boy Ishmael, whom he much loved, giving them only bread. He could also foresee that when these were consumed, they would die, and this would have come to pass if they had not received help from the angel. And besides, these things respecting the bread and the bottle of water, and their being put on her shoulder, are not of so much importance as to be narrated. But still it was so done, and was related because these things involve and signify the first state of those who are becoming spiritual, to whom in the beginning something of good and something of truth, and indeed but little, is imparted, and afterwards that the water fails them, and they then receive help from the Lord. 2675. And gave to Hagar. That this signifies implantation in its life is evident from the signification of Hagar as being the life of the exterior man. See number 1896, 1909. The life of the exterior man is the affection of sciences, which is specifically signified by Hagar the Egyptian. With those who are becoming spiritual, good and truth are implanted by the Lord in the affection of sciences, and this so that they desire to know and to learn what is good and true for the purpose and use of becoming rational and of becoming spiritual. For the affection of sciences is the mother through whom is born the rational in which is the spiritual. number 1895, 1896, 1902, 1910. The like does indeed flow in from the Lord withal, but no others receive it for that end and that use, except those who can be reformed. The rest do it for other ends and other uses, which are innumerable, and have regard to themselves and the world. 2676. Put it on her shoulder. That this signifies as much as it could receive is evident from the signification of the shoulder as being all power. See number 1085. Thus, as much of good and truth as one can receive. 2677. And the child. That this signifies the spiritual is evident from the signification of a child here as being that which is called the spiritual. For Ishmael, or the son of the handmaid, here represents the man of the spiritual church, and because he here represents the beginning of it, he is called a child. 2678. And sent her away. That this signifies that he left it in what is of their proprium is evident from the signification of sending away when done by Abraham, who represents the Lord, and also from the first state of those who are being reformed and are becoming spiritual. Their first state is that they suppose they do good and think truth from themselves, thus from what is of their proprium, nor do they then know otherwise. And when told that all good and truth are from the Lord, they do not indeed reject it, but do not acknowledge it at heart, because they do not feel it, nor interiorly perceive that anything flows in from any other source than themselves. As all who are being reformed are in such a state at first, they are therefore left by the Lord in what is of their proprium. Nevertheless, they are led by means of this without knowing it. 2679. And she went and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. That this signifies a state of wandering at that time in the doctrinal things of faith is evident from the signification of going and wandering in the desert as being a wandering state, and from the signification of Beersheba as being the doctrine of faith, treated of at the end of this chapter, where it is said that Abraham and Abimelech made a covenant in Beersheba. Verse 32, and that Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba. Verse 33. In this verse is described what the quality of the state of those who are reformed is in the beginning, namely, that they are carried away into various wanderings, for it is given them by the Lord to think much about eternal life, and thus much about the truths of faith. But because from what is of their proprium, as just stated, they cannot do otherwise than wander hither and thither, both in doctrine and in life, seizing as truth that which has been inseminated from their infancy, or is impressed upon them by others, or is thought out by themselves, besides their being led away by various affections of which they are not conscious. They are like fruits as yet unripe, on which shape, beauty, and savor cannot be induced in a moment, or like tender blades, which cannot in a moment grow up into bloom and ear. But the things which enter in at that time, though for the most part erroneous, are still such as are serviceable for promoting growth, and afterwards, when the men are being reformed, these are partly separated, and are partly conducive to introducing nourishment and, as it were, juices into the subsequent life, which partly can be adapted to goods and truths, afterwards to be implanted by the Lord, and partly to being serviceable to spiritual things as ultimate planes, and thus as continual means to reformation, which means follow on in perpetual connection and order. For all things, even the least with man, are foreseen by the Lord, and are provided for his future state to eternity. And this for his good, in so far as is any wise possible, and as he suffers himself to be led by the Lord. 2680. Verse 15. And the water was spent out of the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. The water was spent out of the bottle signifies the desolation of truth, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs signifies despair that nothing of truth and good was perceived. 2681. The water was spent out of the bottle. That this signifies the desolation of truth is evident from the signification of being spent as being desolated, and from the signification of water as being truth. See number 28, 680, 739. 2682. And she cast the child under one of the shrubs. That this signifies despair, that nothing of truth and good was perceived, is evident from the signification of the child as being spiritual truth. See number 2669, 2677. And from the signification of a shrub or bush as being perception, but so little as to be scarcely anything, on which account it is also said under one of the shrubs, having the same signification as trees, but in a less degree, and that trees signify perceptions may be seen above, number 103, 2163. Also from the feeling there was in the act, which was one of despair, all of which shows that by her casting the child under one of the shrubs is signified despair that nothing of truth and good was perceived. That being cast under one of the shrubs denotes to be desolated as to truth and good, even to despair, is manifest in Job. Alone in want and famine, they flee to the drought, yesternight desolation and wasteness. They pluck mallows upon the shrub, to dwell in the cleft of the valleys, in holes of the dust and of the rocks. Among the shrubs they were groaning, under the thistle they were joined together. 3:3, 4, 6, and 7. Where the desolation of truth is treated of, which is described by forms of expression in common use in the ancient church, for the book of Job is a book of the ancient church, such as to be alone, in want and in famine, to flee to the drought, yesternight desolation and wasteness, to dwell in the clefts of the valleys and of the rocks, also to pluck mallows upon the shrub, and to groan among the shrubs. So too in Isaiah. They shall come and shall rest, all of them, in the rivers of desolations, in the clefts of the rocks, and in all shrubs, and in all watercourses. 7:19. Where also desolation is treated of, which is described by similar forms of expression, that is to say, by resting in the rivers of desolations, in the clefts of the rocks, and in the shrubs. In this verse, the second state of those who are being reformed is treated of, which is that they are reduced to ignorance till they know nothing of truth, and this even to despair. The cause of their being reduced to such ignorance is that persuasive light may be extinguished, which is of such a nature as to illuminate falsities equally as well as truths, and to induce a belief in falsity by means of truths, and a belief in truth by means of falsities, and at the same time trust in themselves. Also, that they may be led by experience itself to a cognition of the fact that nothing of good and nothing of truth is of self or of man's proprium, but from the Lord. They who are being reformed are reduced into ignorance even to despair, and then they have comfort and enlightenment, as is evident from what follows. For the light of truth from the Lord cannot flow into the persuasive, which is from man's proprium, for this is of such a nature as to extinguish that light. In the other life, that which is persuasive appears like the light of winter, but at the approach of the light of heaven, instead of that light, there comes darkness, in which there is ignorance of all truth. With those who are being reformed, this state is called the state of desolation of truth, and this also is much treated of in the internal sense of the word. But of this state few have any knowledge, because few at this day are being regenerated. To those who are not being regenerated, it makes no difference whether they know the truth or do not, nor whether what they do know be truth or not, provided they can palm a thing off for truth. But they who are being regenerated think much about doctrine and life, because they think much about eternal salvation. And therefore, if truth be deficient with them, as it is the subject of their thought and affection, they grieve at heart. The state of the one and of the other may be seen from this. While a man is in the body, he is living as to his spirit in heaven, and as to his body in the world. For he is born into both, and has been so created that as to his spirit he can actually be with the angels, and at the same time with men by means of what is of the body. But as there are few who believe that they have a spirit which is to live after death, there are few who are being regenerated. To those who believe it, the other life is the whole of their thought and affection, and the world is nothing in comparison. But to those who do not believe it, the world is the whole of their thought and affection, and the other life is in comparison nothing. The former are they who can be regenerated, but the latter are they who cannot. Verse 16. And she went and sat by herself over against him, withdrawing about a bowshot, for she said, Let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him, and she lifted up her voice and wept. She went and sat by herself over against him, signifies a state of thought. Withdrawing about a bowshot signifies how far that state was from the doctrine of truth. A bow is the doctrine of truth. For she said, Let me not see the death of the child, signifies grief that it should thus perish. And she sat over against him, signifies a state of thought. And she lifted up her voice and wept, signifies a further degree of grief. 2684. And she went and sat by herself over against him. That this signifies a state of thought is evident from the signification of going, and also of sitting by herself, and this over against, as applied to the things that precede and that follow. To go, here to go away from the child, signifies removal from spiritual truth, which is further expressed and determined by her withdrawing about a bowshot. To sit by oneself signifies a solitary state, such as is that of thought and grief and despair. Over against signifies that she might not look on, and yet might look on. That to look on means to think, see above, number 2245. This is also further expressed and determined by her saying, Let me not see the death of the child, and she sat over against. There is thus involved in these words the state of thought of those who are in desolation of truth, and in the consequent despair. 2685. Withdrawing about a bowshot. That this signifies how distant the state was from the doctrine of truth, is evident from the signification of withdrawing as being to be distant, and from the signification of a bow as being the doctrine of truth, concerning which presently. A shot signifies as far distant as possible, since it was as far as an arrow could be sent by a bow. It is here said a bow shot, because a bow is predicated of the spiritual man, and he is a shooter of the bow, as is said of him in the 20th verse following, And he dwelt in the desert, and became a shooter of the bow. 2686. That a bow here denotes the doctrine of truth is evident from its signification. Wherever wars are treated of in the word, and wherever they are mentioned, no other wars are signified than spiritual ones. Number 1664. There were books also in the ancient word that were entitled the Wars of Yahuwah, as is evident in Moses, Numbers 21, verses 14 to 16, which, being written in the prophetic style, had an internal sense, and treated of the combats and temptations of the Lord, and also of those of the church, and of the men of the church. This is manifest from the fact that some things were taken from these books by Moses, and also from other books of that church, called the books of the prophetic enunciators, respecting which see Numbers 21, verses 27 to 30, in which almost the same words are found as in Jeremiah. Compare Numbers 21, verse 28, and Jeremiah 48, verse 45. From this it may also be concluded that the ancient church had writings, both historic and prophetic, that were divine and inspired, and that in their internal sense treated of the Lord and his kingdom, and that these were the word to them, as are to us those historic and prophetic books which in the sense of the letter treat of the Jews and Israelites, but in their internal sense of the Lord and of the things which are his. As in the word, and also in the books of the ancient church, war signified spiritual war, so all arms, such as sword, spear, buckler, shield, darts, bow, and arrows, signified special things belonging to war as understood in the spiritual sense. What the several kinds of arms specifically signify will, of the Lord's divine mercy, be told elsewhere. Here it will now be shown what a bow signifies, namely the doctrine of truth, and this from the darts, arrows, or other missiles, which denote the doctrinal things from which and with which those in the special fight who are spiritual, and who were thence formerly called shooters with the bow. That a bow signifies the doctrine of truth is evident from the following passages. In Isaiah, Yahuwah's arrows are sharp, and all his bows are bent. The hoofs of his horses are counted as rock, and his wheels as the whirlwind. 5, verse 28. Here the truths of doctrine are treated of. Arrows are spiritual truths. Bows are doctrine. The horses' hoofs are natural truths. The wheels are their doctrine. And as these things have such a signification, they are attributed to Yahuwah, to whom they cannot be attributed except in a spiritual sense, for otherwise they would be empty words and unbecoming. In Jeremiah, the Lord hath bent his bow like an enemy. He hath stood with his right hand as an adversary, and hath slain all that were pleasant to the eye in the tent of the daughter of Zion. He hath poured out his fury like fire. Lamentations 2, verse 4. Here bow denotes the doctrine of truth, which appears to those who are in falsities as an enemy and as hostile. No other bow can be predicated of the Lord. In Habakkuk, O Yahuwah, thou ridest upon thy horses, thy chariots of salvation. Thy bow will be made quite bare. 3, verses 8 and 9. Here also the bow is the doctrine of good and truth. In Moses, they grieved him and shot at him. The archers hated him. His bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty one of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Genesis 49, verses 23 and 24, where Joseph is spoken of. His bow denotes the doctrine of good and truth. In John, I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat thereon had a bow, and there was given unto him a crown. Revelation 6, verse 2. The white horse denotes wisdom. He that sat thereon, the word, as is said plainly in chapter 19, verse 13, where the white horse is again treated of. And as he that sat thereon was the word, it is evident that the bow is the doctrine of truth. In Isaiah, who hath raised up justness from the east, and called him to his footsteps? He hath given nations before him, and made him to rule over kings. He gave them as dust to his sword, as the driven stubble to his bow. 41:2. Where the Lord is treated of, the sword denotes truth, the bow, doctrine from him. In the same, I will set a sign among them, and I will send such as escape of them unto the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, that draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan. 66:19. They that draw the bow denote those who teach doctrine. The signification of Tarshish may be seen above, number 1156, that of Lud, number 1195-1231, that of Tubal, number 1151, and that of Javan, 1152-1153-1155. In Jeremiah, for the voice of the horseman and of him that shooteth the bow, the whole city fleeth. They have entered into clouds and climbed up upon the rocks. The whole city is forsaken. 4:29. The horseman denotes those who declare truth, the bow, the doctrine of truth, which they who are in falsities flee from or fear. In the same, set yourselves in array against Babel round about. All ye that bend the bow, shoot at her, spare not with the arrow, for she hath sinned against Yehovah. 50:14-29, 51:2-3. Where they that shoot and bend the bow denote those who declare and teach the doctrine of truth. In Zechariah, I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the nations. 9:10. Ephraim denotes the understanding of truth in the church, the bow, doctrine. In Samuel, David lamented with this lamentation over Saul, and over Jonathan his son, and he said it to teach the sons of Judah the bow. Second book of Samuel 1:17-18, where the bow is not the subject, but the doctrinal things of faith. In Ezekiel, said the Lord Yehovah, this is the day whereof I have spoken, and they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth, and shall set on fire and burn up the weapons, the shield and the buckler, the bow and the arrows, and the hand staff and the spear. And they shall kindle fire in them 7 years. 39:8-9. The arms here named are all arms of spiritual war. The bow with the arrows denote doctrine and its truths. In the other life, truths themselves, when separated from good and represented to the sight, appear like arrows. As a bow signifies the doctrine of truth, in the opposite sense, it signifies the doctrine of falsity. The same things in the word have usually an opposite sense, as has been said and shown in several places, thus in Jeremiah. Behold, a people cometh from the north country, and a great nation shall be stirred up from the sides of the earth. They lay hold on bow and spear, they are cruel, and shall not have compassion. Their voice shall roar like the sea. They shall ride upon horses, set in array as a man for battle, against thee, O daughter of Zion. 6:22-23. Where a bow denotes the doctrine of falsity. In the same, behold, a people cometh from the north, and a great nation, and many kings shall be stirred up from the sides of the earth. They lay hold on bow and spear. They are cruel, and have no compassion. 50:41-42, where the meaning is similar. In the same, They bend their tongue. Their bow is a lie, and not for truth. They are grown strong in the land, for they have gone forth from evil to evil, and have not known me. 9:3. That the bow is the doctrine of falsity is plainly manifest, for it is said, They bend their tongue, their bow is a lie, and not for truth. In the same, Yehovah Zebaoth said, Behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the chief of his might. 49:35. In David, Come, behold the works of Yehovah, who hath made desolations in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow. He cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariots in the fire. Psalm 46:9. In the same, In Judah is God known. His name is great in Israel. In Salem also shall be his tabernacle, and his dwelling place in Zion. There break ye the fiery shafts of the bow, the shield and the sword, and the war. Psalm 76:1-3. In the same, Lo, the wicked bend the bow, they make ready their arrows upon the string, to shoot in darkness at the upright in heart. Psalm 11:2. Here the bow and arrows plainly denote doctrinal things of falsity. 2:6-7. For she said, Let me not see the death of the child. That this signifies grief, that it should so perish, is evident from the signification of seeing the death as being to perish, and from the signification of the child as being spiritual truth, explained above. Hence, and from the feeling of despair on account of the desolation of truth, it is manifest that it is interior grief that is within these words. 2:6-8. And she sat over against him. That this signifies a state of thought is evident from what was said above, number 2684, where are the same words. The reason that this is said again in this verse is that the state of thought was increased and aggravated even to the last degree of grief, as is manifest from what just precedes. Let me not see the death of the child, and from what next follows. She lifted up her voice and wept. 2:6-9. And she lifted up her voice and wept. That this signifies a further degree of grief is evident from the signification of lifting up the voice and weeping as being the last degree of grief, for weeping with a loud voice is nothing else. The state of desolation of truth and also of removal from truths with those who are becoming spiritual is described in this verse. How these things are to be understood shall be briefly told. Those who cannot be reformed do not at all know what it is to grieve on account of being deprived of truths, for they suppose that no one can feel in the least anxious about such a thing. The only anxiety they believe to be possible is on account of being deprived of the goods of the body and the world, such as health, honors, reputation, wealth, and life. But they who can be reformed believe altogether differently. These are kept by the Lord in the affection of good and in the thought of truth, and therefore they come into anxiety when deprived of this thought and affection. It is known that all anxiety and grief arise from being deprived of the things with which we are affected or which we love. They who are affected only with corporeal and worldly things, or who love such things only, grieve when they are deprived of them. But they who are affected with spiritual goods and truths, and love them, grieve when they are deprived of them. Everyone's life is nothing but affection or love. Hence it is evident what is the state of those who are desolated as to goods and truths with which they are affected or which they love, namely, that their state of grief is more severe because more internal. And in the deprivation of good and truth, they do not regard the death of the body, for which they do not care, but eternal death. It is their state which is here described. That it may be known who those are that can be kept by the Lord in the affection of good and truth, and thus be reformed and become spiritual, and who those are that cannot. We will briefly state that during childhood, while being for the first time imbued with goods and truths, everyone is kept by the Lord in the affirmative idea that what he is told and taught by his parents and masters is true. With those who can become spiritual men, this affirmative is confirmed by means of scientifics and cognitions. For whatever they afterwards learn that has an affinity with it, insinuates itself into this affirmative and corroborates it, and this more and more, even to affection. These are they who become spiritual men in accordance with the essence of the truth in which they have faith, and who conquer in temptations. But it is otherwise with those who cannot become spiritual men. Although during their childhood these are in the affirmative, yet in the age that follows they admit doubts, and thus trench upon the affirmative of good and truth. And when they come to adult age, they admit negatives, even to the affection of falsity. If these should be brought into temptations, they would wholly yield, and on this account they are exempted from them. But the real cause of their admitting doubts, and afterwards negatives, is to be found in their life of evil. They who are in a life of evil cannot possibly do otherwise, for as before said, the life of everyone is his affection or love, and such as is the affection or love, such is the thought. The affection of evil and the thought of truth never conjoin themselves together. With those in whom there is an appearance of this conjunction, there is really no such conjunction, but only the thought of truth without the affection of it. And therefore with such persons truth is not truth, but only something of sound or of the mouth, from which the heart is absent. Such truth even the worst can know, and sometimes better than others. With some also there is found a persuasion of truth, of such a nature that no one can know but that it is genuine, and yet it is not so if there is no life of good. It is an affection of the love of self or of the world, which induces such a persuasion that they defend it even with the vehemence of apparent zeal. Nay, they will even go so far as to condemn those who do not receive it, or believe in the same way. But this truth is of such a quality as is the principle with each person from which it starts, being strong in proportion as the love of self or of the world is strong. It indeed attaches itself to evil, but does not conjoin itself with it, and is therefore extirpated in the other life. Very different is it with those who are in the life of good. With these, truth itself has its own ground and heart, and has its life from the Lord. 2690, verse 17. And God heard the voice of the child, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven, and said unto her, What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the child where he is. God heard the voice of the child signifies help at that time. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven, signifies consolation. And said unto her, What aileth thee, Hagar? Signifies perception concerning one's state. Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the child where he is. Signifies the hope of help. God heard the voice of the child. That this signifies help at that time, is evident from the signification of God hearing a voice, said in the historic sense, as being in the internal sense, to bring help. And from the signification of the child as being spiritual truth, explained before. Here it is the state in which the spiritual was as to truth, for it is said that he heard the voice of the child, and again in this verse, that he heard the voice of the child where he was, that is, in what state. And in what precedes, it was shown that it was in a state of the greatest grief on account of the privation of truth. The voice of the child, and not Hagar's, is said to have been heard, because the state of the spiritual man is treated of. By the child, or Ishmael, is represented the man of the spiritual church, by his mother Hagar, the affection of the cognitions of truth, which is that which had grief. Man's rational is born of the affection of sciences as a mother. Number 1895, 1896, 1902, 1910, 2094, 2524. But his spiritual is born of the affection of cognitions of truth from doctrine, especially from the Word. The spiritual itself is here the child, and the affection of the cognitions of truth is Hagar. 2692. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven. That this signifies consolation is evident from the signification of calling out of heaven, and also of the angel of God, as well as of Hagar. To call out of heaven signifies influx. The angel of God signifies the Lord. Number 1925, 2319. And Hagar, the affection of the cognitions of truth. Number 2691. The influx of the Lord into the affection of truth, when this is in deepest grief on account of the deprivation, is consolation. That which flows in with man from the Lord is said to be called out of heaven, because it is through heaven and is there manifest. But in man's perception and thought it is obscure, manifesting itself only by a change of the state of his affection, as here by its receiving consolation. 2693. And said unto her, What aileth thee, Hagar? That this signifies perception concerning its state is evident from the signification of saying in the historic parts of the word as being to perceive, explained before, and from the signification of What aileth thee, Hagar, as being the state in which it was. Here it signifies that the Lord thoroughly knew its state, although she was questioned, and it is said, What aileth thee, Hagar? In the sense of the letter, it is interrogation from the Lord, but in the internal sense, it is infinite perception of all things. We read here and there in the word that men are questioned as to their state. But the reason is that man believes that no one knows his thoughts, still less the state of his affection. A further reason is that men may have consolation from being able to express their feelings, which often proves a relief. See number 1701, 1931. 2694. Fear not. For God hath heard the voice of the child where he is. That this signifies the hope of help is evident from the signification of fear not as being not to despair, for when fear is taken away, hope is present, and from the signification of hearing the voice of the child as being help. See above, number 2691, where the words are similar. In the verses which precede, the state of desolation in which those who are being reformed and are becoming spiritual is treated of. Now the subject is their being restored, and here their comfort and hope of help. That they who are being reformed are reduced into ignorance of truth or desolation, even to grief and despair, and that they then for the first time have comfort and help from the Lord, is unknown at this day, for the reason that few are reformed. They who are such that they can be reformed are brought into this state, if not in the life of the body, nevertheless in the other life, where this state is well known and is called vastation or desolation, concerning which there has been some mention in the first part, where also see number 1109. They who are in such vastation or desolation are reduced even to despair, and when they are in this state, they then receive comfort and help from the Lord, and are at length taken away into heaven, where they are instructed among the angels, as it were, anew, in the goods and truths of faith. The reason of this vastation and desolation is chiefly that the persuasive which they have conceived from proprium may be broken, see number 2682, and that they may also receive the perception of good and truth, which they cannot receive until the persuasive which is from proprium has been, as it were, softened. This is effected by the state of anxiety and grief, even to despair. What is good, nay, what is blessed and happy, no one can perceive with an exquisite sense unless he has been in a state of what is not good, not blessed, and not happy. From this he acquires a sphere of perception, and this in the degree in which he has been in the opposite state. The sphere of perception and the extension of its limits arise from out of the relatives actually formed. These are the causes of vastation or desolation, besides many others. But take examples for illustration. If to those who ascribe all things to their own prudence and little or nothing to divine providence, it be proved by thousands of reasons that the divine providence is universal, and this because it is in the most minute particulars, and that not even a hair falls from the head, that is, nothing happens however small, which is not foreseen and provided accordingly, nevertheless their state of thought about their own prudence is not changed by it, except at the very moment when they find themselves convinced by the reasons. Nay, if the same thing were attested to them by living experiences, just at the moment when they see the experiences or are in them, they may confess that it is so. But after the lapse of a few moments, they return to their former state of opinion. Such things have some momentary effect upon the thought, but not upon the affection. And unless the affection is broken, the thought remains in its own state. For the thought has its belief and its life from the affection. But when anxiety and grief are induced upon them by the fact of their own helplessness, and this even to despair, their persuasive is broken, and their state is changed, and then they can be led into the belief that they can do nothing of themselves, but that all power, prudence, intelligence, and wisdom are from the Lord. The case is similar with those who believe that faith is from themselves, and that good is from themselves. Take another example for illustration. If to those who have conceived the persuasion that when justified there is no longer any evil in them, but it is completely wiped away and blotted out, and thus they are pure. If to these it be made clear by thousands of reasons that nothing is wiped away or blotted out, but that they are kept back from evil and held in good by the Lord, that is to say, those who are of such a character that from the life of good in which they had been in the world, this is possible to them. And if, moreover, they be convinced by experience that of themselves they are nothing but evil, and indeed are most impure heaps of evils, after all they will not recede from the belief of their opinion. But when they are reduced to such a state that they perceive hell in themselves, and this to such a degree as to despair of ever being able to be saved, then for the first time that persuasive is broken, and with it their pride, and their contempt of others in comparison with themselves, and also the arrogance that they are the only ones who are saved. And they can be led into the true confession of faith, not only that all good is from the Lord, but also that all things are of his mercy, and at length into humiliation of heart before the Lord, which is not possible without the acknowledgement of the true character of self. Hence now it is manifest why they who are being reformed or are becoming spiritual are reduced into the state of vastation or desolation treated of in the verses which precede, and that when they are in that state even to despair, they then for the first time receive comfort and help from the Lord. 2695, verse 18. Arise, lift up the child, and strengthen thy hand in him, for I will make him a great nation. Arise signifies elevation of mind. Lift up the child signifies the spiritual as to truth. And strengthen thy hand in him signifies support therefrom. For I will make him a great nation signifies the spiritual church. 2696. Arise. That this signifies elevation of mind is evident from the signification in the word of arising, as involving, where mentioned, some kind of elevation. See number 2401. Here, elevation of mind, because enlightenment, and in the following verse, instruction in truths. 2697. Lift up the child. That this signifies the spiritual as to truth is evident from the signification of the child as being the spiritual, especially as to truth. See number 2677, 2687. For the man of the spiritual church seems to be regenerated by means of the truths of faith, but does not know that it is by means of the good of truth. For this is not apparent, and only manifests itself in the affection of truth, and then in life according to truth. Never can anyone be regenerated by means of truth, except when in the truth there is good. For truth without good has no life, and therefore by truth separate from good there does not come any new life, which, however, a man possesses by regeneration. 2698. And strengthen thy hand in him. That this signifies support from it is evident from the signification of being strengthened as meaning to be supported, and from the signification of the hand as being power, see number 878, which relates to support. In him, that is, in the child, means from it, that is, from the spiritual as to truth. They who are in internal grief and in despair from the privation of truth are elevated and sustained solely by truth, because it is for this that they have grief and despair. With those who are in the affection of good, their good desires good as one hungers for bread. But with those who are in the affection of truth, their good desires truth as one thirsts for water. What strengthening the hand in him here means will not have been understood by anyone except from the internal sense. 2699. For I will make him a great nation. That this signifies the spiritual church is evident from the signification of a great nation as being the spiritual church which will receive the good of faith. See above number 2669. It is said a great nation because the spiritual kingdom is the Lord's second kingdom, spoken of also in the same number. As the man of the spiritual church is represented by Ishmael, so also is the spiritual church itself represented by him, and also the Lord's spiritual kingdom in the heavens, for the image and likeness of the one is in the other. The first state after desolation was described in the preceding verse, which was a state of consolation and of the hope of help. Their second state after desolation is described in this verse, which is a state of enlightenment and of refreshment therefrom. As these states are unknown in the world, for the reason, as before said, that at this day few are being regenerated, we may describe the state of those who are being regenerated in the other life, where it is most fully known. Those who have been in vastation or desolation there, after being comforted by the hope of help, are elevated by the Lord into heaven, thus from a state of shade, which is a state of ignorance, into a state of light, which is a state of enlightenment and of the refreshment therefrom, thus into a joy that affects their inmosts. It is actually light into which they come, of such a quality as to enlighten not only their sight, but also their understanding at the same time. And how much this light refreshes them may be seen from the opposite state from which they have been delivered. Some who have been of an infantile disposition and of simple faith then appear to themselves in white and shining garments, some with crowns. Some are taken around to various angelic societies and are everywhere received with charity as brethren, and whatever of good is gratifying to their new life is shown them. To some it is given to see the immensity of heaven or of the Lord's kingdom, and at the same time to perceive the blessedness of those who are there, besides innumerable other things which cannot be described. Such is the state of the first enlightenment, and of the refreshment therefrom, with those who come out of desolation.